The Feds need to cap gold against the dollar is their Achilles heel.
They now have to keep printing or we crash.
We've got this ticking time bomb.
Talking gold with the one and only Andrew Maguire.
Welcome to Live from the Vault.
Welcome to Live from the Vault. This is the show that goes beyond the headlines and uncovers the truth about the precious metals industry and the effects on the global economy in these historic times. With exclusive access to experts and insiders, we reveal right here on Live from the Vault information and insights you simply won't find anywhere else. Today's show will be no exception. Hey, my name is Shane Morand, and I'll be your host for this week's episode, and we'll be joined shortly by the one and only precious metals expert and whistleblower, Andrew Maguire, as we pull back the curtains on the intricate world of gold and silver and these markets, and we expose what's really going on in the precious metals industry. So get ready for another blockbuster episode of Live from the Vault, and we'll bring you the knowledge and the understanding that the mainstream media just will not provide. So just before we head over to the UK, you know, to join Andy here, please help keep spreading the word by hitting that like button. It really helps the channel. And also when you share the information, and of course, if you click on that bell notification, you'll be notified as each episode goes live. And with that, let's head over to the UK and Talking Gold with Andrew Maguire. Hey, Andrew, this is amazing. It seems that 2 weeks is a long time, a lot longer than 2 weeks, but we've had a lot of good questions from our growing community. And I know they keep coming in. But really, the elephant in the room, as you call it, is this massive gold price spike higher and then a sudden reversal that followed has really dominated the questions this week. What happened here? And maybe you can shine some light on this.
Yeah, thanks, Shane. And nice to be with you again. Nice to be with everyone. And by the way, look, we are receiving a lot of questions from you guys. And clearly, we're going to get to them all. But obviously, we've got to get to them in the same order, just to be fair. And obviously, we are limited to time because we want to get a ton of information out to you in time for what is really a very interesting time as we move into the last couple of weeks of the year. My goodness me. So, Shane, look, you're right. There's been a lot, but there's been a lot of theories, really, about really what happened. And I'm going to give you my perspective, which looks beyond the paper market actors into the wholesale physical markets where this volatility really originated. So following the now infamous Monday the 4th December two-way, that's last Monday really, basically the two-way short long futures market speculator rinses. So we're going to go through what they are. And obviously we're going to drill down into the group of traders dominated by the COMEX siloed CTA group. That's the Commodity Trading Advisor Group. Betting, borrowed, and highly leveraged casino chips, because that's all they are, which professionals actually call the open interest. And I will look at the divergence between what has ended up as a deliberately chart-painted bearish technical setup, which has got everyone running for the hills, versus what our first tier liquidity providers are reporting in the real physical wholesale markets. I'm going to run through both sets of footprints so we can better understand how we can take advantage. And this is what it's about, information. Take advantage of this, what is actually a panicked official defense following what was actually reported by a very trusted source, that this spike higher was not pre-planned set up from the market riggers. It was almost certainly a weaponized trial balloon warning shot that was deliberately triggered in thin conditions as US treasuries were put on sale to fund a sovereign-sized gold purchase order. Now, this is not as far-fetched as it sounds.
Now, Andrew, in our last episode 2 weeks ago, you had indicated that we might expect some what you called warning shots from adversarial, like the global South Central banks. If this was a weaponized transaction, then is this not really significant for our community to understand here?
Absolutely, Shane. And given the jockeying over that weekend, actually in the South China Sea, this is not at all unexpected. And in our last episode, we discussed the difference in how a coordinated or a weaponized gold price revaluation would have to be dealt with by the only global, non-Basel III compliant, non-delivery exchange, which is, of course, the COMEX, the casino. Now, given the COMEX is the tail that actually wags the 10 times larger spot dog, which is basically the unleveraged physically backed market, we'll look at some important changes that will actually undermine the legacy paper-centric structure, making it far more difficult in the future for the Fed to step in to attack gold rises with paper gold. We're pretty darn sure this was a trial balloon. And given the unfactored gold price ramp was reliably reported to have resulted from a large institutional size driven rotation out of US treasuries into gold, suspiciously in the thinnest of conditions, it may not have been a coincidence, given it followed saber rattling over the weekend in the South China Sea. And we're not discounting this may have been a warning shot across the Fed's bow. Now, or at very least, a test. Now, given every single global central bank except the Fed is on and off record buying physical gold to really bolster their respective currencies, a higher gold price support level from which a revaluation could be justified would not be unwelcome. And the Fed's need to cap gold against the dollar is their Achilles heel. And every other central bank absolutely knows it. So whatever the trigger was to spike gold higher, it's absolutely clear that if the PPT, which is the only admitted existence, and the PPT is obviously, and to those that don't know, it's an openly admitted, it came into existence pretty much, although they've been in different forms after the 2008 debacle. And so they had admitted that there is a plunge protection team. And had this team not stepped in to rescue the gold market breakout from triggering the first of a series of CME market, and CME is the exchange that the COMEX is a part of one of the exchanges that the CME run. If these CME market halt circuit breakers, they were configured at $2,150. If it hadn't been triggered, they would have lost control through a series of market halts into a bid-only market. At best estimate, gold would have pivoted higher to around $2,500 over the Monday session. And we'll look at that in a minute. Now, whatever it was that triggered the gold price to spike higher in these thin conditions, we don't think it was the insiders risking losing control of the 10 times larger foreign exchange gold physically backed delivery market just to paint a top. So yes, they did paint a top, but they didn't plan it. And while they need every single tool in, well, they actually used every single tool in the toolbox to cap the rise with massive quantities of paper gold, the very obvious official gold market intervention did reveal a very weak hand. Namely, the only tool left for officials to intervene in gold is 100% reliant on how many siloed casino speculators can be led by the nose to take the bait. And of course, by design, that's exactly what these programmed algos did. Like a dog chasing a bone, these momentum chasers reacted to the deliberately chart-painted technical sell signal, and then they began to bet against gold. Now, the reason we're highlighting this is because this growing chasm between the paper and the physical markets that we've been tracking all of 2023 has presented a huge opportunity, another opportunity window, to join in and do what the insiders, what the insiders are doing, who are exposed to the physical markets, accumulating cheap gold and related silver into this group of speculators. Now, we've identified this group of momentum-driven speculators. They are the commodity trading advisors who are relied upon to never take delivery of borrowed COMEX gold. And all, whether they buy it long or short, it doesn't matter. But through massive amounts of leverage, they actively trade close to a staggering 85% of all the casino chips loaned to them by the house pit managers.
All right, Andrew, this is fascinating. Let's hang around this topic for a second, because in our last episode, once again, I'm going to refer back to the last episode. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch the last episode. But you were talking about what would happen if the unbacked COMEX paper market, you know, the one you're always talking about, this unbacked COMEX paper market, in the case of the gold revaluation, you know, this leads into something else that you had drawn our attention to just recently again, that the COMEX market trading halts. All of a sudden, the trading halts here as we came very, very close to this on Monday. Can you expand on this and what exactly happened here on Monday?
Yeah, Shane, and as you just rightly pointed out, we've recently drawn a lot of attention to these little-known circuit breakers that were snuck into the market back in 2013, following the two LBMA bullion banks defaulting on client delivery requests. Now, if you recall, these halts allows the market-making bullion banks privileged to have a foothold in both the COMEX futures markets, which can be frozen for 5 minutes at a time, as well as a footprint in the 10 times larger spot foreign exchange gold delivery markets, which the US traders are blocked from actually accessing. So while the casino roulette wheel is frozen, the market making insiders can continue to trade in the foreign exchange markets. It's rare to see a halt in a foreign exchange cross. Think about it. When do you see the dollar halting against the pound or the euro or any other of the foreign exchange crosses? And because gold and silver are monetary foreign exchange crosses against the dollar, they will remain open. Talk about a rig job, guys. And the rig job extends further because COMEX futures positions are not backed one-to-one with physical gold. These futures market circuit breakers are only configured to trigger into an unfactored gold market rise. Now, we've seen tons of collapses of the price without any market halts. This is what they were configured to do back in 2013. This is what they're configured to do. And this is their fail-safe device. So, and this is really about protecting the COMEX casino's unbacked gold warrants. They float around exchanging these warrants, never making delivery. But these warrants can exit the casino's back door. Remember, we talked about this through what is called the EFP mechanism, the exchange for physical mechanism. Now, if the exchange for physical spigot was opened up wide, say in the case of a gold price revaluation, which we kind of looked at last time, the COMEX would be drained of every leveraged ounce, forcing these paper gold bets to be exercised, converted into Basel III compliant foreign exchange, physically backed delivery market positions, so as to fill wholesale orders at the synthetic gold price. Now, everything was at stake on Monday morning, and the PPT was forced to act. But as we will discern, it did reveal a weak hand. At best, first-tier liquidity providers' estimation, looking at the wholesale market structure, as foreign exchange gold broke out in the early hours of Monday morning, if these futures market circuit breakers had not triggered, gold for immediate delivery, would have reached a minimum of $2,500 before sufficient physical gold would have actually been put on offer to equalize physical market supply and demand imbalances. Why would you put physical on offer into a bid-only market? So really, to halt the circuit breakers from spilling into and activating a bid-only NSFR-compliant foreign exchange gold delivery condition, the very gold revaluation condition we recently drilled down to in our last couple of episodes, it required sufficient paper gold COMEX bandwidth for officials to quickly chart paint what is called a bearish technical setup that would automate COMEX-centric selling. This is called chart painting. And namely, which is attacking the momentum-driven CTAs, the commodity trading advisors, which are the speculator category locked into the casino with which the house holds the loan book on. It's just so important to understand this structure to make sense of this smoke and mirrors market. Now, given these speculators have borrowed an estimated 85% of all the casino chips circulating inside this rigged casino, at 92 ounces of paper gold representing a fractional hold on just 1 ounce of physical gold, and that the house at all times holds the loan book on these unbacked synthetic long and short positions, which are the casino chips, the plunge protection team was able to trick these CTAs into selling by calling in the loan book they hold on these speculators. Now, we'll look at how they took advantage of these CTAs, first rinsing them of their shorts, don't forget, meaning the CTAs had to buy back these bets at a loss. And recall that we'd identified this wrong-footed group as having bet against the options market last month, potentially exposing them to unlimited losses. Remember, we spent some time looking at this. Then, having forced them to reverse long after short covering and racing for the exit, they turned on them and rinsed them of their longs. All of this was conducted inside the casino bubble. Now, following this two-way rinse of their short bets, then targeting their freshly automated long bets, this deliberately chart-painted reversal corralled purely technical traders into accepting this bearish chart pattern at face value. You look at the chart, you see this, what is really a very bearish candle. Then you would say, hold on, this is a turnaround. Well, candles used to represent real supply demand. This is a synthetic candle. So it's interesting to keep, but you need both sides of the picture. So what it did was automated the algos to sell paper gold or to move on the sidelines. That's what happened when they saw this candle. And right on cue, the PPT and their agent bank insiders, exposed to the physical markets, commenced short covering into the herd, now betting against gold and related silver. I mean, you might say, job done, right? Well, it all is not really what it seems. While chart painting a bearish pattern is short-term self-fulfilling, in the paper markets, that is, every first-tier liquidity provider exposed to the physical markets is now reporting the largest sovereign and central bank physical demand since November 2002. Now, just look at how wrong these pure technical traders were into the $1,618 November 2022 waterfall lows, which was, again, a rigged chart-painted bearish situation. Only then were these technical traders proved to be wrong into later to be reported Bank of International Settlements short covering alongside the strongest central bank buying since Nixon closed the dollars for gold window. So if you recall, not all, but just like now, many chart-painted technical analysts was singing from the same song sheet predicting a gold price collapse from the November 2022 chart painting 1618 lows, extrapolating the idea that gold would be driven to between a range of 1500 to 1100. I remember it vividly. And Shane, as subscribers will recall, this was the exact point our liquidity providers and we reported commercials were coiling for a physically driven rally, which is not that dissimilar. This is the point I'm raising it now to the setup we're seeing now. So note the technical conditions are similar to just before what was a chart painted, physically driven, 3-month, $350 rally beginning. So, look, while there are variances in the bearish projections right now, and we expect officials to try and spin out this bearish chart painting into FOMC. By the way, we are recording this episode just ahead of FOMC tonight, so you'll know more about it on Friday. Today, currently, the technical crowd are expecting a plunge into a test of about 1885. Well, I mean, that's about $100 lower. This is because it's a 5-0 level, because it's a technical level. And as counterintuitive as to the physical market this expectation is, given the bearish technical setup exists, we may yet see some lesser degree follow through technical selling, which we, alongside known central bank sovereign bidders, are sitting just below the 2000 level. And they've been taking advantage of this. So not seen by these led-by-the-nose chart chasers, given the very similar spot market delivery overhang emanating from, we're recording this on Wednesday, we had two, this is before the fix right now, or just around the fix time, we've seen two, and possibly today the third, dip below spot 2000 since the 23rd of November. And these dips have triggered very large EFP, exchange for physical outflows, of around 14 tons of fully paid up COMEX bullion outflows a day. This is concurrent with spot index purchases. Subscribers will recall that spot indexing provides a large physical buyer a stealthy way of buying physical gold without driving the price higher immediately. Now, spot foreign exchange market gold is, as we know, NSFR Basel III compliant. So liquidity providers dealing with these transfers of paper gold into the compliant spot markets are guaranteed to be physically backed. It's basically a way of locking in the foreign exchange gold price for ultimate delivery, but by not immediately exercising one right to call in the bullion for a compliant T+2 physical delivery date, one does not show one's hand as not to drive the gold price higher until all your orders are filled. And if you're a central bank, this can be an extended period of time. And you think the siloed CTA momentum sellers see this? Absolutely not, because the insiders are taking the long side of their bets. They do.
Wow, that's fascinating. Now, Andrew, we've got a lot of new subscribers. Our community is growing very, very fast. Thank you very much. And can you maybe, for the benefit of our newer community members, explain a little bit more in detail about this spot indexing and how that's working right now?
Yeah, I'm really happy to do that, Shane. The buyers, so bring it to what's happening now. The buyers holding these physically backed spot index purchases at $2,000, as we saw following the chart painted selling, they don't care if, for example, the price of gold rises to $2,500 or so. It doesn't matter if it's $2,500 an ounce, because and that they don't care if it rises before they demand delivery, because they have locked in the price at $2,000. No one knows if these spot purchases are just longs being hedged or are going to be demanded for delivery until it is actually demanded on the day. And this is why the growing spot index demand overhang will have the house insiders exposed to this physical delivery conversions. It'll have their attention big time. Now, clearly, there's a lot going on. So to bring a balance to the one-sided technical view at the house, the officials capping gold against US treasuries and the dollar, what they 100% rely on is synthetic chart painting to commence at significant inflection points, and to lead the pack to sell highly leveraged, non-Basel III compliant, unbacked synthetic COMEX gold. Now, accepted at face value and blinkered to the growing physical to paper market disconnect, the pack will dutifully chase the technical patterns until they break, fulfilling the chart painter's objective, oblivious to the fact that gold is a monetary metal competing in the foreign exchange markets and benchmarking new record purchases against every single fiat currency. Worse, They're oblivious that the drain of physical market gold underpinning their leveraged casino bets is concurrently draining the liquidity that the officials actually rely on to cap the dollar price of gold. Now, meaning that while the blinkered specs borrow gold from the insiders to sell, the house must go long to protect these EFP outflows. This limits the downside, and it is why during 2023, we have secured a succession of higher priced gold market stair steps. Just what we're seeing now. And as we enter the end of 2023 trading, I can't believe it, in just over 2 weeks, this physical effect will continue to catch up on the only central bank still capping gold, the Fed. And they know it. However, not so the pure technical traders blinkered to this unseen and deliberately unreported power of the unleveraged physical markets, which because gold became a first-tier asset class, is actively eroding this 50 years of relied upon historical inflection points, the anchors for these inflection points. And much like we evidenced in November 2022, when everyone was actually bearish, extrapolating these unhinged synthetic actors is going to once again wrong foot these top callers. Unlike every other central asset class, gold and silver are monetary metals and do act differently to commodities such as oil, where one never takes physical delivery. And therein lays the difference in how these speculators, CTA speculators, operate in gold. Namely, gold is able to be backdoored, EFP'd out of the COMEX for physical delivery. When was the last time we evidenced COMEX oil being oil futures being physically delivered? And the answer is when synthetic oil went to minus zero per barrel so as to not take delivery. Who the hell wants barrels? Have you got a swimming pool to put all these barrels in? I mean, crazy stuff. So last week, Bloomberg provided an insightful analysis of these same actor CTA footprints in the oil markets, acknowledging that these same group of traders are also very active in the gold and silver markets. Now, the Monday two-way rinse of large section of these automated momentum traders in gold futures provides a perfect example of how these unbacked synthetic traders were targeted by officials stepping in to front-run COMEX circuit breakers, which would, of course, trigger the first of a series of market halts. Now, as we previously outlined, once a CME circuit breaker is triggered, it'll just kick off an unstoppable series of CME market halts, while at the same time, the still active 10 times larger physically backed spot gold FX markets would evidence the market-making liquidity providers pulling their NSFR compliant offers to sell physical bullion into a bid-only condition. Who the hell wants to sell anything in a bid-only condition, exacerbating the problem? And this is where the first-tier liquidity providers' consensus of $25 equilibrium point is calculated. $2,500 is considered by most first-tier liquidity providers to be an actual fair value for gold in 2024. And that is based on current inputs, not even accounting for some very worrying geopolitical escalations, and most certainly not factoring in a move by global central banks to capitalize on their accrued gold assets sitting in their gold revaluation accounts to better align with their respective gold to GDP ratios. This could be done overnight. Gold is rarely the subject of a mainstream media analysis, and that's why it's interesting. So it was really of note that Bloomberg's analysis of these same actors' disruptive CTA footprints in the oil market, and in a rare reference to gold, it was of interest that Bloomberg also noted, as we just said, and it was there. I mean, their quote was, "It was these destabilizing momentum chasing CTAs are also identified as active in gold futures, and end of quote. This was the first ever mainstream media acknowledgement of spec drivers, spec-driven physical to paper gold market disconnects. Now, they went on to explain that while supply and demand fundamentals still dictate overall commodity price cycles, the day-to-day business of trading crude and gold futures is increasingly dominated by this group, speculative group of CTA. CTAs fueling this synthetic volatility, which we're actually evidencing now, driving this disconnect between the physical and paper market. So to provide a benchmark to these extraordinary level of leverage employed by this mob of casino chasing algos, the Bloomberg piece referenced to how CTAs ignore fundamentals as they lock in to chasing a direction until it breaks, basically. And JP Morgan estimated these synthetic algos trading oil populate a massive 70% of all crude trades, larger than British Petroleum, Shell, Koch combined, larger than the big guys all combined. Incredible.
Yeah, that is really incredible. And for our community, this is why you can't get this information anywhere else except for right here on Live from the Vault. Now, this really provides a good insight into what these same actors are doing in gold, does it not?
Yes, Shane. And while these momentum-driven CTAs are equally active in every other market, stocks, their bonds, cryptos, stocks through commodities, everything, there are some very important differences in how CTAs operate in gold. And as we've been drawing attention to, following foreign exchange gold being reclassified as a first-year asset class, gold in all its forms, from futures to foreign exchange spot, began competing with U.S. treasuries, evidencing an increasing larger percentage of these CTAs breaking rank, employing gold futures and as an alternative real asset hedge. Now, we highlighted this splinter group becoming sticky versus the legacy CTA momentum chasers. And this is an important pressure change that is disconnecting historical correlations that rearward-looking technical analysis and analysts completely miss. Don't get me wrong, there are some outstanding analysts that really understand these pressure changes, but they are the exception, and I have great respect for their work. Now, while analyzing COMEX open interest, namely the number of the COMEX chips the momentum-chasing CTAs have in play at any one time, we have to take the sticky CTA offset into account.
Yes, Andrew. Now, you often draw our attention to what you call the casinos COT report. You've been talking about this, especially over the last several episodes. And this is the report, by the way, that regulators force them to publish every week. Now, before we started recording today, you had mentioned that the last report actually captured the spike action. What did you see in that report, Andrew?
Yeah, the current COT report, which was published last Friday, it captures really a perfect example of this, but only becomes evident if one actually weighs up the reported COMEX short hedges as they relate to the long Basel III compliant foreign exchange gold market deliverable longs that they offset. Of course, that isn't reported. So the deliberately delayed report, which the insiders have and could be published daily, of course, provides such an outdated view, but captures the changes between the Tuesday to Tuesday reports. But this report is useless in capturing the fact that predatory swap dealer shorts, which is the agent banks, the official agent banks, are deliberately being presented as bearish to spook the CTAs even further. And while in reality, these so-called futures bets against gold are largely short hedges of long NSFR compliant FX gold long, so they don't realize that. However, last week, the report captured the two-way rinse of the CTAs. But interestingly, the producer merchant category that actually involves producers in the, they couldn't hide their long footprints in that report.
All right. Now, Andrew, earlier on, you had mentioned something, and I want to bring it up because when you said it, I just know that we've got a very large silver community out there, and they probably had the same question as I had. And that is, you talked about, you know, $2,500 for gold, you know, as a fair price. What are you seeing in silver right now?
Well, the commercials exposed to silver delivery orders are also long foreign exchange silver. But these CTAs, which is the managed money, if you look at the report, they call the managed money category of traders, have since this stale report was published, have since been rinsed of all of their longs. So now, once more, these CTAs are naked short and are setting themselves up for another upside rinse, very similar to what we talked about last time, as we went into options expiry. Don't forget, when you're writing options calls, when you're taking unlimited risks, and if you are incentivized into doing that, and as we talked about options traders being carried out feet first, this is a dangerous game. So now, once more, the CTAs are naked short and setting themselves up for an upside rinse. The report, taken at face value, is a farce, complete farce, and it fails to capture insiders exposed to massive Chinese and Indian silver demand on the long side of these momentum-driven CTAs chasing a dot on their screen until it breaks. Now, spot silver has fixed below $23 for spot for the third time since the 14th of November, because we'd recorded this on Wednesday, into the very strong Indian and Chinese demand. Now, this demand is as yet to be reported, but the fourth quarter will confirm the largest physical silver demand of 2023 is underway. And guess who's on the long side of all this silver selling? So to sum up, as we exorcise, and I don't mean exorcise, I mean as in flushing out demons, as we exorcise this officially injected paper virus from the real physical body, let's look at the setup in gold and related silver. You can't separate the two. NSFR compliant gold is not just another commodity. And while, for example, oil can be bought and sold backed by a fiat loan without any requirement for liquidity providers to have any physical on hand to back up their long or short offerings, the difference is that COMEX gold can be EFP'd into a deliverable spot gold FX market. We talked about this. It's so important to understand. And this is why commercials exposed to the physical markets have to take the long side of these highly leveraged naked short CTAs, as they once again overshoot the levels that central banks and sovereigns are happy to EFP and lock in these non-compliant COMEX delve prices into a deliverable NSFR compliant foreign exchange gold position. That's exactly what is occurring under the smoke and mirrors synthetic action at around a casino outflow of about 14 tons a day. And we know every ounce is being hedged by insiders. So ultimately, as it's always the case at both ends, the house insiders will run out of specs to sell into, and they will rinse these same specs out of their shorts, but from a higher 2023-driven stair-step support level. Now, draw back to the daily chart chatter, and it cannot be hidden that these stair-steps are being driven higher by some very powerful competing central bank forces. In fact, ironically, what initially spiked the Monday CTA short squeeze looked very much like a weaponized central bank treasury dump in exchange for gold, swiftly followed by a buy-stopped CTA-driven rotation out of USTs into first-tier gold. So something was going on there which is not being really noted. And therein lays the Achilles heel for officials, the rotation out of US treasuries into first-tier gold. And with a couple of minutes left, I'm going to answer some specific questions from traders. And obviously, there's a ton coming in, but drilling down, the extreme volatility, first evidencing, which was a $60 spike higher, followed by a $115 sell-off, which obviously continued later, perfectly illustrates how these momentum trading CTAs are from time to time utilized by officials to intervene in the gold markets. And as Bloomberg put it, these CTAs ignore fundamentals chasing a direction until it breaks, which is exactly what's going on. And after two-way rinsing these CTAs out of shorts, then hunting out their automated longs, officials have the necessary cover to avert this CME circuit breaker events from unfolding. This time, that is. Now, without this group, though, this is important, without this group of non-Basel III compliant synthetic traders active in the futures markets, the Fed-sanctioned PPT would have lost control of an NSFR-compliant, physically-backed, spot-driven, bid-only breakout rally. And following Basel III NSFR conditions being formally imposed on the 1st of January 2023, remember that episode? We're coming back in the early January in 2024 to really round up this story. All liquidity providers active in the 10 times larger spot gold foreign exchange crosses have to be physically backed. And the sudden upside breakout in dollar-priced FX gold was forcing these compliant liquidity providers to buy physical gold at market to ensure this compliance. So we're drilling down into what happened in the first 20-odd minutes. This meant liquidity providers exposed to a bid-only spot gold market would, for NSFR compliance reasons, also be forced to pay the necessary wholesale market premium above spot to secure real bullion offers to sell for immediate delivery. And with the gold price moving bid only in that first 20 minutes, within 20 minutes, the spot premium to lock the physical gold price was driven to around a $60 premium to spot above the Friday settlement close as well to meet any sellers. And this tells us the real premium above spot was plus or minus $60 at that time. That's huge. Okay, it wasn't the $100 that we saw in March 2020, but nevertheless, this was a disconnect and it was a panic. And obviously much higher. This is going to be much higher once the paper market falls. And as could be seen last Monday, this trigger is very close and precise, and really precisely the point that the PPT stopped in to cap the physically backed spot gold breakout, triggering these futures market circuit breakers. Now, I know this is just for the technical traders here, but to assist in follow-through selling, officials and their agent bank insiders would have also had the NFP data, the non-farms payroll data, which came out this Wednesday. Really, they knew that was going to be a beat, so it helped them. They would have had that information last Monday. And so clearly, they doubled down, knowing this data was going to be a beat, and suckered in more of the chart-painted CTAs to sell paper gold sufficiently to target the 2,000 round number. This was achieved by waiting for London to clear for the day before the bid pulling undeliverable gold futures longs were pulled, tricking in momentum sellers to just double down on the short side. However, just as we've just outlined, really, the market making commercials exposed to the physical markets once again taken the long side of highly leveraged naked short CTAs as they are tricked into overshooting the level central banks and sovereigns. EFP, the non-compliant COMEX derived price, into a deliverable NSFR compliant FX gold price. Now, unfortunately, to answer your question on chain, of course, silver is not NSFR compliant. So it may be affected more as we head into FOMC today. And again, I'm doing this ahead. This is after FOMC. Before FOMC by about 3 or 4 hours. So we don't know quite what it's going to be. But I mean, essentially, it's going to provide enough volatility to really give these guys a head of steam. And you're going to know, of course, what this, what the result of that NFFOMC data was on Friday when this is published. However, the ratio trade, silver ratio trade, is now an extremely actionable into the strongest Indian and Chinese demand of 2023. I mean, good God, nearly 87 ounces of silver to buy an ounce of gold. It's ludicrous. And the only question remaining, though, is how much physical gold and silver do you own as we enter a massively bullish 2024? Now, just to say, as we round out the year, this will be the last market update. We're going to have another episode next week, but the last market update episode of 2023. But I'll be back in early January with lots of very fresh information. I cannot wait for 2024 to unfold. This, in the meantime, everyone here from Life, everyone here, and this is from Life from the Vault, we all wish you a safe, relaxing holiday, whether you're, whether it's Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, or just time to be with your loved ones. I just want to say bless you all.
All right. Thank you, Andrew McGuire, for talking gold, and what a phenomenal 2023 we've had here, and for all of our community members. Yeah, it's been an amazing year, and right from the very, very first episode, Andy, you've called a lot of what's actually taking place right now. So remember, to our community, buy physical, make sure it's backed, one-to-one, buy physical, right, with physical. So understand the difference between what Andy affectionately calls the casino paper gold and silver markets and the actual physical gold and silver markets. They're not the same. Don't be fooled. And there you have it. That's all we have for you today on another amazing episode of Live from the Vault. And please help keep spreading the word about this channel by hitting that like button. It really helps out the channel. Share this information. And if you haven't already subscribed, you can subscribe. And if you hit that bell right there, you'll be notified as each episode goes live, so you won't miss a thing. And with that, we'll see you next time right here on Live from the Vault. See you then.